And that is what this country is founded on. And until we make peace with that by reckoning with it and remembering it and making reparations for it, we will continue to create that violence in the future.
Why did you change your name to V?
Well, it's an interesting story. I wrote the apology in 2019, which was a letter that I wrote to my father because I had waited most of my life waiting for my father to apologize to me for the sexual and physical violence he had enacted on my body and being, and that never happened. And I finally decided, after watching a lot of the people who had been called out in Me Too, a lot of the men, I didn't hear one public apology. I didn't hear one man taking responsibility or doing deep reflection that we could see about what he had done. I realized I had to write my father's apology for him. So I wrote the book, The Apology, which was excruciating, but it was also very liberatory because I finally began to understand, not justify, what my father, who my father was. And I came to see that it had very little to do with me.
We have 15 seconds, V.
At the end of that book, he was gone, and I realized I didn't want that name anymore. I had no more rancor towards my father, but I wanted my own name that was clear of that patriarchal history, which had never involved my best interests.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for being with us. V, formerly Eve Ensler, playwright, founder of V-Day and 1 Billion Rising, 25th anniversary and 10th anniversary. Her new memoir, Reckoning. And Monique Wilson, as well as Christine Schuller.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Next Monday night on Playful Presence, an improv show, you'll hear...
Verily I say unto ye, madam, there is excellent mileage on this vehicle.
Don't tell me, Rutherford, I'm a dying man. Why would you want to tell me one more thing?
Playful Presence, an improv show. Monday night, February 13th, from 11 p.m. to midnight, on KBOO Community Radio.
This is Cesar Chavez. You're listening to KBOO, listener-sponsored radio.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live on February 13th, 2023 on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I am Cecil Prescott, and you are in the company of Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning. And the sun, well, I don't know. It depends on where you are, whether or not the sun is shining, but it is morning time, is it not?
It's definitely morning, but I think we're supposed to be in for some snow, especially come Valentine's Day. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But yes, indeed, it is Monday, and I wanted to open it by saying something corny, like, do you know where your politics are? Do you know where your groceries are? Do you know where something is? Because, some of these things know where you are. But, that it sounded kind of corny. So I'll try a different tack.
Okay.
Do you know where your politics are? Do you know where your groceries are? Because they know where you are. No, I'm gonna go ahead and stick with that. It's corny, but you know it kind of hits things right where they live. So whatever are you talking about? Well, you know, one of the things I love to do is remind people that we need to be aware, mindful of how AI is being used, artificial intelligence. And a lot of people sincerely have an issue with that whole concept because it not only presents problems in terms of its collateral technologies, which is surveillance, like GPS surveillance, but AI has taken away the human touch, and that's a pun intended, in that you are not engaging with real people. And that can mean not only are you frustrated because the machine might have limited ability to understand what you're talking about. If you don't believe me, try dealing with AI when you're on hold and it says everything but what the problem is you're asking for and does not provide you any way to interface to get your specific problem taken care of. But if you are a partaker of a certain brand of grocery store, you might not even be able to get into the store in the future without having either an account with them that lets you scan a card or a biometric chip. But it might ask you, I'll just scan your fingerprints or your handprint and then tell you where to go in the store for what you want, tell you what you're going to buy, tell you what you haven't bought recently, and suggest that you need to buy that. Yes. You know, there's that. And there's the fact that many people are finding themselves challenged in terms of their job and their profession because AI now draws pictures and sometimes with a little bit more imaginative flair than some people do, causing folks to think, well, I don't need to hire a real person for this. I can just use AI to illustrate my ads or illustrate my book or create characters. So, you know, the question now is, how ready are you for giving up your job? We'll talk about some of the ways in which it's replacing people and some trends of the future, kind of like some speculative trends on the future. Now, there is one place, though, that maybe we wish AI would replace some folks. And if you think I've lost my mind, well, I'll mention one name. George Santos. If you had your choice, would you prefer to have George Santos, or would you prefer to AI? And I've got to be a facetious. I don't know, Cecil. Mm-hmm. You're from New York originally.
Yes, I am. I was just wondering, in terms of, as you introduced the topic of AI and how it is so much a part of our lives and how we are maybe unaware of how much it continues to influence our lives or will influence our lives in terms of choices and habits and what it is that we buy and where we go. And, you know, it just recently it seemed like something from science fiction, and now we see different search engines vying with one another to create the best AI search engine. So, and you know, you might just be going through your phone and looking at on different sites, and lo and behold, when you walk into the and fill in the blank, because I think many stores are like this, so anyone would feel. You walk into...
Yeah, moving is direction, yeah.
You walk into your favorite store, and it begins to tell, not only know what you want to buy, but where to buy it. And
yeah, what aisle is it?
And suggest why you want to buy it, or need to buy it, or have to buy it.
Or how much you bought this month, and you're a little behind.
Mm-hmm. And so it's something that, for me at least, it's very subtle in terms of how it comes into my life and influence. And before I know it, I'm sucked into this web of that sort of directs me in many ways.
Well, that most definitely is a concern, and I'll bring up some more about AI here after we kind of unpack the other topic, which is I kind of joked about and asked you, you know, how you feel about the idea of having an AI elected representative. You know, just like our commerce experience or shopping experience, our work experience is changing because of AI. There's also the fact that our political experiences are changing. That may not be so much due to AI, but, you know, there seems to be a new type of politician in town. And it's the one that creates this image, and we buy into it. And I'm wondering how many of us are ready for the new politics. I guess that's the best way to put it. How are you ready for the new politics? And what do you mean by new politics, Celeste? I mean the fact that with the election, well, with the strategies and election that Trump has used, not only to become elected, but to keep himself in the public eye by being disagreeable, by crying foul, by claiming things are stolen when he just outright lost them, basically by lying. There's a new playbook, and some politicians, like George Santos, have been using some of the tactics that were very successfully employed by Trump and his ilk. And there's even talk of this being the new political dynamic. Just say whatever you need to say to get elected, and don't be concerned about the truth. Just curry favor, because, you know, we people have needs, wants, and desires, and if you cater to them, then more than likely you're going to be attractive to them, and you can get elected. And that's one of the reasons why I was asking, what did you think about New York? Because you might know a little bit more about this particular area where Santos was elected. And he even has the audacity to say, well, unless my people recall me, I have to honor the fact that I have been elected. And I'm thinking to myself, but dude, you weren't elected. You lied. Fooled them. So that's not, they didn't elect who they thought they did.
Well,
they didn't elect who they got. Well, and so this seems to be the new political strategy that's been working. There was a 24-year-old who was recently elected to office in a small town by outright lying. And then if you happen to read the, I think it's Salon, yeah, this magazine, there's an article about the quote-unquote new George Santos who just dropped, and that's U.S. Representative Anna Paulina Luna in Florida, no less, where they think it's turning into a really fascist state there. And this is another person who's possibly lied.
let me join in and respond to some of the statements you made, Celeste. I think it's
okay.
And thank you so much for laying out this new reality we are living into. And it isn't as if politicians or people have just discovered lying or that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it isn't that people have not skirted around the truth to get elected. But I think it's certainly true that we have certainly entered into another phase in this society and probably in other societies as well. Remember in January 2017, right after Mr. Trump was inaugurated, his press secretary and made a lie about the number of people attending the president's inauguration. And when pressed about it, his spokesperson, counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, said that it wasn't a lie. He was offering alternative facts. And
yeah.
That phase is so much a part of our reality now that we don't even blink when we see someone lying, and we see candidates, not only the former president, but as you, the elected representative from Long Island, Mr. Santos, use it, and also the others that you pointed out, including a newly elected representative from Florida as well, who just like out and out lie, provable lies, like, where I was born or my heritage, is sort of like, it's challenging, but it's become normative in our society today.
Well, I guess the questions then are, how are we living in this new world? What are your expectations? Whose work is it to vet politicians and candidates? Newspapers try to point fingers at each other, and folks who were expected to be higher in the food chain in terms of making sure that candidates were vetted, pointed fingers at others. But the question also is for us, how do we discern? How do we sift through? How do we, certify and verify? Do we even care? Are we okay with being fooled? Now, people will say, oh, but that's something that's more than likely to happen in the Republican Party. And I don't think that's necessarily true, because human nature being human nature, all people crave power. Well, not all people, but once power touches them, well, we know it corrupts. But that's just the aspect of the political. With regard to the AI aspect of the show today, the AI topic, that question has far-reaching implications in that not only are we having to deal with the fact that it's AI as we're using it in society this day is taking over jobs and stuff, there are a lot of us that are a lot more comfortable with it than we think, than we're ready to admit.
Yes.
Because when you go to the library and you've picked out a book, mm-hmm. I don't care how you are trying to be a Luddite. If you called on the phone or you went online to try to place a hold on the book, or if you go to the library and you avail yourself of self-service to place a hold on a book, or even if you went and talked to somebody, they undoubtedly used AI to get the job done. And so I guess we need to be aware of how it's creeping in and look at how, as a senior, you are adopting. How, as a young person, you are adopting. How do you plan on interfacing with it? Because you're not going to get away from it. Doesn't matter how old you are or whether you earn a lot or earn a little. It is here to stay, and it's taking over. It's taken over.
Is that, and so some of you who are proud Luddites, as well as those mm-hmm. of you who are on the cutting edge, so either through your smartphone or your rotary phone, let us know your thoughts. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And talk about your experience of AI and your interaction, and whether or not what things you do to embrace or resist it. And also your reflection on a new political reality, which is the new norm, which is it's okay to lie and be open about it and be unapologetic about it. If you're caught, you just tell another lie and you just move on. Our numbers here.
Well, that's pretty much how Trump did it, isn't it?
Well, exactly. It's and the former president proved that you can be successful on the greatest stage. And so there are others who are duplicating what he did. And as you suggested, Celeste, it's not limited to one political party or the other. It's human nature.
Human nature, sadly. And so our phone number is 503-231-8187. Give us a call and join in the conversation. So while we're waiting on our calls here, just to reference you to the article, I did mention one in Salon about Representative Luna, mm-hmm. and then in the Daily Beast, and this was back in January, there's a 23-year-old who was able to kind of manipulate their processes and reinstall himself as mayor in a small Kansas town. And as the article states it in the Daily Beast, this person used a playbook from Trump, you know, after he'd been voted out of office. And, you know, there seems to be no lack of imagination when it comes to doing things crookedly. And one of the things I used to try to teach people when I actually worked in public safety is that when it comes to criminals and their pursuit of your money, you know, they have nothing but time on their hands. That's their job, is to imagine new ways of getting your money from you or getting your power from you or getting something from you. And just like in various other aspects of business, you're rewarded for your creativity. Their reward is getting your whatever, you know, prized possession away from you. And so people spend a lot of time and energy thinking of ways to take what's yours. Again, whether it's your identity, political power, your outright money, your health, your, you know, but I think what is really kind of depressing to some people is that what's the saying? It's like the reason you can't make anything foolproof is because fools are so darn ingenious. Well, I guess it could be said the same for, you know, criminality.
Well, let's go to... Effort. We have a couple of callers online, and let's go to our first caller, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, yes. What are your thoughts?
Well, the reality is that I have been looking at this for many years, and so many people are just so loving to be told what to think, how to think it. And we're stuck in this red and blue reality of people electing, you know, either the red candidate or the blue candidate, that this place has become purple and we have this big bruise in our reality and we can't even overcome it because people aren't willing to think critically and actually challenge what they're being told.
And how might we do that? We know where we are now. How did we get to this stage, and how might we become more able to challenge what we are being told?
Well, you have to just challenge what you're being told at every moment. That's where it starts. Like, when I was a kid, I was considered, you know, rebellious. But the reality was, I just thought, no, that's not true. I can see that it's not true. But people like to be lied to. Mm. They just do. They like to be told what to think. I don't know why. I don't get it. I never have. But we have this education system set up to train people to be this way. We have it all set up to just be that way. And the easier it is on us, the better people like it. And so it's red or blue, red or blue. That guy can't win. That guy can't win. Even in Washington recently, we had the people vote not to go with ranked choice voting, even though that's the only way we can actually make our votes really heard, because then we can vote for the person we really want, and then our second choice, then our third choice. But somehow it got turned down, even though in Portland it actually won.
Yeah.
And if we don't change the electoral system and get rid of the, what is it called, where the electors actually elect the person that's in charge?
Oh, the electoral college.
Electoral
college. That's antiquated. It's old. It's trash. It's not worth anything. Back when it was created, we had to travel thousands of miles to get to one place to elect an elector. So it made sense. Nowadays, we have internet. We have telephones. We have a lot of ways to communicate. Like, so why don't we have popular vote and ranked choice voting? Because that's the only way to put it back in the hands of the people. But the people have to realize they have to take the power back, because it's we the people, not the we the electors.
You raise several important points in terms of whether or not we can embrace and claim our powers or not, and how difficult it is. Let's go continue our conversations with some other people. Thank you so much, Ed. And
thanks for your call.
And continue to question. Is what I learned from you this morning. Good morning, Molly. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, yeah. Well, good morning, Cecil and Celeste. And, of course, I'm listening as always. And thank you for taking my call, because I really agree with Ed, the previous caller, about the critical thinking. And that was my comment on your subject today, is that we need to be very aware of the times that we live in. This is what I'm thinking of on your subject. Because of all this artificial intelligence and the internet, and you don't know what to believe. I know I saw recently you can put an image of someone up, like an ex-president who's saying something about something that is completely faked and never, this, you know, it's completely faked. You can see the picture and everything. So if you didn't have the wherewithal to know that these things are possible, then you very easily would believe it. Not only that, they can fake a newspaper to back up something like this. Mm-hmm. So I think, well, like the previous caller said, you really have to be critically, thinkingly aware of the times that we're in, because these things are possible, and there needs to be... So that would be the first thing. It's on the individual to teach this in the schools to the young children, and to be aware of it if you're already out of school, as it's happening today. And the other thing would be just, I read the newspaper, and I go back to the printed page, as Celeste mentioned, the library and the books. These things can't be faked like on the internet. And you can fact check
things. Well, they
can't
be faked as easily. They can't be faked as easily.
As easily, right. You're right, Celeste. They can be faked. This is why fact-checking is another thing that you can do in this day and age, when you see something and you question it. So I just wanted to say that I agree it's on all of us, because this is a new time that we live in where these things can be easily faked. There are some advantages in the artificial intelligence, of course,
but it has to be very carefully thought about and looked at and realized, as a danger.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Molly. And I think we're talking to Molly, but it might be...
Yes, and I want to say I appreciate your show so much. I'm so glad that KBOO went over the expectations, because KBOO is such a wonderful thing, and your show is such a wonderful thing to be an individual that can call in and be part of the democracy of our time. This is one way that I just love. Thank you so much for having this and volunteering and doing such a great job doing it.
Well, thank you so much for your kind thoughts and your kind words, Molly. Have a great day.
Same to you.
And bye. You are listening to your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 FM if you are in Points East along Columbia River Gorge, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, Philomath, and everywhere else, www.kboo.fm. This is More Talk Radio with your host Cecil and myself, Celeste. Give us a call at 231-8187 and we'll go to our next caller.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. I wanted to offer a few questions and ideas. We don't have to accept the political as our orientation. And we're living in very strange, dark times. So I read recently in a German article that we can accept a German clown's orientation, which is when the struggle becomes harder, I become stronger. I like that very much, and I'm trying to change my routine so I don't face Trump and McCarthy and the rest of these people. I work closely with a language robot, DeepL.com, and I'm just totally amazed. My computer speed with Comcast has increased fourfold, and I'm totally amazed at how quickly DeepL can translate articles. It helps with 26 languages, not only German, Spanish, and French, but Dutch, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, and Chinese. So I can do more in 1 hour than I could in 4 to 5 weeks, and it's better translation. I don't know how she got into the computer to do the work. That's a kind of a permanent mystery to me. But it's almost as though DeepL erases time. It only takes a few seconds for a 15 or 20 page article to be translated. Now, I think the reason why people don't try DeepL is that they have strange ideas about robots, and they think that if they sign on, they're going to be transported to Mars. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a lot more nuanced than that. For one thing, I want to say this. You know, even though you think you've got a translation, if you don't speak the language fluently and read the language fluently, how do you know that it's an accurate translation? And the reason I say that is because I don't know how many other people besides myself may watch a show with captions on. And very often I see the captions are either inaccurate or paraphrasing what the person said. Now, out of necessity, I guess that could happen, but I've seen people type fast, so I don't understand why they're not, you know, verbatim, you know, word for word. And so I've also noticed sometimes with translations from things from Spanish to English, my Spanish sometimes is rusty, but I do read and speak it fair. And I noticed that I'm not getting, I'm getting the gist of the idea sometimes, not necessarily the whole truth. So I think for some people, that's a reason. And then, you know, again, I don't think people are worried necessarily that they're being transported, you know, elsewhere But I, in addition to being lied to, I wonder if the concern is on a more human level, in that you're recognizing somebody's lost their job. I mean, you've got artists who are upset because AI is drawing them out of a job, you know?
I'm very angry that Yahoo usually depends or relates stories about fashion and new stocks to buy. And this represents probably 80% of the so-called news. Our culture as a whole seems to be tilted in the way of fashion, food, travel, and celebrities, so that anything serious, anything complex, anything transcendent is completely off the table. So this is very depressing, and we have to find solutions to this personal depression and to feelings of being obsolescent.
And you like ChatGPT, or not ChatGPT, but you know, a chatbot, you know, for translation. So
I would recognize
everything is a trade-off. You like something that is actually taking jobs away from people.
Well,
we need to do is figure out how to rally for or advocate for chat or AI use in general in more appropriate places.
Well, after
I think that's more.
After over a year of working with DeepL, I think they are superior to Google Translate, and I think people should try DeepL themselves and make their own decision. I think DeepL is different. They're located in Cologne, Germany, and the translation that I get is so sophisticated that it's breathtaking. That's just my perspective, and I just have a minority opinion on everything. That's the way it goes, you know.
Well, I think it's helpful, and thank you so much, Mark.
And I don't know how Biden can say he's never been more optimistic.
Thank you so much, Mark,
okay.
for calling and sharing your perspective. And I think it's important to realize, as you shared with us, in terms of the trade-off we all make, in terms of choices we make, and you know, your chosen AI might not be my chosen AI, but it's certainly a reality we are living in. And just, I thought it was interesting to hear him advocate for one corporate entity as opposed to another corporate entity.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, this is where we are now. So it's not, you know, is it a Ford or is it a Chevy? But now it's which chat AI I use.
Well, you know, here's the whole thing about all of this AI. It's coming. It's here. It's not that can we stave it off, or it's not that we should be afraid of it, or it's not even that don't use it, you know, because there are certain forms of AI that I really appreciate. But here's the deal. It's how can we argue, advocate for, press for a more judicious use of it? And one of the reasons why I keep sounding this alarm is an article, this was just last week it came out, and the motherboard tech by Vice. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Vice, the channel, the media, but developers were able to create an AI program to generate police sketches. And a lot of people who do this already are aware that there are biases that we have to try to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But AI will make it worse. And I'm sure the people out there, well, what do you mean, Celeste? Well, first, it makes the drawing look like it's an actual photo. It's very realistic. But here's the other thing. We already know that AI, as it is used and created and programmed by human beings, can be racially insensitive, even to the point not even recognizing dark-skinned individuals as people. So there's a built-in flaw right there that exacerbates our already tenuous relationships with each other. So I want to be careful about saying that AI is bad or good, but it's more important that we look at how we use it and make sure that we're advocating for use that's equitable and just.
Mm-hmm. That's the challenge. It's sort of like these moral dilemmas that may seem new and different here in the 21st century. But these existential questions about what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to interact with one another? What does it mean to maintain integrity? These are questions, challenges that humanity has faced for eons, but we are in the worlds we are living in make these questions new again, and what may have seemed like an answer yesterday is no longer appropriate today. So, you know, how do I respond to this? Is shifting just a little bit to Representatives Luna and Representative Santos and their ability not only to be elected, but, you know, create these personalities. This isn't, you know, it's just basic. It's not AI, but create new ways of who they were and who they are. And how do we discern in terms of what is truth? One of our callers earlier today mentioned in terms of the necessity of searching and looking at all the facts. But how do we know what is truth? And
is it an alternative set of facts or a virtually factual?
Right, virtually factual.
Virtual used to mean it was true.
And is that person I'm listening to, is that a person or is that AI?
Well, there you go. And you know, the thing is we're not going to have critical analysis, critical thinking taught in schools. Is not going to happen because the powers that be want us to stay ignorant and gullible. Mm. But, you know, it's up to us to make sure that, you know, within our circles, we keep each other gently aware of and encouraged to practice critical thinking and critical analysis of situations, that we do this ourselves. And then also be aware, because one thing Ed said is, you know, he was talking about how people like to be told. I think what it is, and this is, again, nuanced, there's a spectrum. I think people are sometimes feel overwhelmed.
Yes.
There's too much choice, and then there's too many things that legitimately demand so much of your attention, whether it be taking care of loved ones, your job, your health, you know, other things happening in your life. And you take that and you take too many choices. And sometimes these are deliberate dynamics created to keep you, you know, numb, to keep you
yes.
unable to think. I mean, I think of this song by this group Devo. Anybody remember Devo from back in, like, what was that, the 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they had a song called Freedom of Choice. And it talked about how there's freedom of choice and there's freedom from choice, you know, because it was too much.
Yes.
And people don't, they appreciate freedom from choosing because it helps free up your mind, people think, to focus more on what matters. But that's also, like I said, it's a device designed to keep you from fully functioning because you're trying to parse out your attention.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And life doesn't let you do that. It is 8:42, and I'm sure that some people are saying, you know, Celeste, Cecil, you know, okay, AI, we get it. But do you? You know, I'm not trying to be deliberately provocative. I'm just saying, okay, it's a deep fake. Deep fakes have been around for a while because we covered them years ago on the show. I want to say at least 8 years ago. You know, I got some articles in my email I can pull up. And so it's not new. But if your facts are deep fake, if AI is creating deep fakes, if our politicians are creating deep fakes, and if their spin doctors are spinning us to accept this as an alternative fact, you know, poor us. How you going to make it through the week? Who are you going to call?
Who are we going to call, and how do we survive? And it becomes so challenging and so confusing. Before we came on the air, Celeste and I were talking about the challenges and changes we face in our reality and in our worlds, and how we respond to these new beings, these new ways of living in the world. What are your thoughts? How do you respond to these, to AI and or to the new way of I'm not sure if it's new, but the acceptable way of doing politics these days, when elected officials such as the representative from New York and Florida are not exceptions so much as they are examples of the world we are living in now? Our number's here.
503-231-8187.
Give us a call and let us know of your interaction with AI and your thoughts about our new politics, where the living into alternative facts becomes the only facts we live by. And how do you accept, embrace not only technology, but as you continue to live in our world today? Do you, as so many of us, sort of like resisted technology, or said, I won't do that because I don't want them to have my information, but you know, if I use my loyalty number, I get a discount, so you know, to heck with my principles, let me save a couple of dollars on my soap detergent. These are some of the things that we face existentially, but they impact all of us in different ways. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us your thoughts, and we will allow you to become a part of our conversation. Let's go to Joseph, who's just called in. Good morning, Joseph.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I'll bet you that AI has got civil rights before black people or women. And then what will happen is you can incorporate and they'll become people.
Well, corporations are, yeah.
Yeah, they'll become people, and then what we really need is to have the death penalty for corporations that are people.
Wow.
Okay, that's it. Thanks. Have a nice day.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph, okay. It sounds like a sci-fi movie, a reality that we're living into. Let's try to get Dee in. Dee, good morning.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Dean, like Dean Martin.
Oh, Dean. I'm sorry. Yes, Dean.
It's all right. No problem. I just wanted to make a quick comment that I happened to do with Trump, and that was simply that, you know, after the big lie, it's amazing so many media people didn't counter it by the simple statement that the people just didn't want him anymore. There's a good reason why he lost. Everybody doesn't seem to talk about that. That the people got tired of him and his antics and his lying and the fact that he wasn't a good president. Right. You know, it just amazes me that people just kind of skipped over that or just didn't, you know, bring it up.
Well, he did lose.
Well, it is mentioned, but he doesn't believe that. And so that's why you don't hear a lot of traction.
I mean, it's kind of like Carrie Lake. She lost, and so she just said she didn't, and she didn't want to. And then I was reading some article where some firm, I can't remember the name of the firm, but they were a research firm. They dug into Trump's claims of having the election stolen, and they could not validate it. They couldn't prove that he was right. And Trump received that report and tossed it. He didn't want to hear it. So just like he didn't want to hear that he actually didn't lose, I mean, that he actually did lose, rather, a lot of people just don't want to hear that. And so for some reason, I mean, because it's been said before, if he lost, that means nobody wanted him. You know, it's so right there in our face. But he doesn't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it.
But the part of the point is they proved that 6 months before the election even happened, he was already saying that if he lost, it was because it was dishonesty. Then to prove that they had a meeting about this and came up with this philosophy. So it's not just that he doesn't believe it; it's that he doesn't want to show that face to the public that he believes it. You know, and so he came up with this lie just because it creates pressure in the political system against. You know, the idea that he lost and that cheating.
Yeah, preemptive lies, you know, is well known tactic for pushback. Yeah. And, you know, since he's a liar by nature, of course he knows that. That, you know, so yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. And let's get to our next caller. Mike, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Celeste. It's interesting times with this automation coming and being so available to us. I got on to a chat, that AI chatbot, and I've been using it to do my employee evaluations and customer service emails that usually take me, you know, an hour. Now I can do it in 15 minutes. You know, the future, I know it's convenient now, and I know that it's automation has made things made our jobs faster and more convenient, and then our jobs go away and we have to do work for take the place of 50 people is how that works. There's possibilities, and we can't, you know, technology it only goes in one direction, and so maybe there's some good that comes out of it, but you know, capitalism is, I don't even think it's a metaphor. It's hardly a stretch to say that capitalism is cancer.
Right. I want to go back to something you just said and ask you to expand on it. You said technology can only go in one direction. What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I would love to, you know, go back to the garden. I don't know if I was dropped back 200 years ago, I wouldn't survive. And I know, you know, things were there. Politics. It's complicated because, you know, I like sewage, modern sewer system.
Right.
Although I live on a septic, but I love my family, who many wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for medical technology.
Yes.
Although I don't know if it's hard to. I'm not a doctor. I'm not really a scientist either. My view, I can't help but think that we're going. We've made some dark turns, and technology may be a solution if we can. It could be a solution at some point, but right now, it's everything just gets exploited.
Yes.
I guess we can just try and make the best of what we have.
Right. Well, yeah, thank you. And for your reflection in terms of technology going in one direction and just recognizing that, you know, I like the fact that I have indoor plumbing. So,
I mean, I do appreciate that.
Some things I don't want to go back to, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Jonathan.
Yes, thank you for your call.
And, oh, Mike, oh, that was Mike, and now Jonathan is on. Okay, Ray.
That's right, hi.
Okay. Yes, you know who you are.
Well, I'd like to think so, but you never know.
Are you real, or, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I hear the term AI bandied about, and I think it's really a meaningless term, like God. I mean, it really has no, you know, definition. I also hear that the concern that about AI, that it's going to fool us all into believing a reality that doesn't exist, but as if human beings somehow are a benchmark for reality, and as if they, you know, have the critical capacity to discern what's good and bad. And I think human beings at this point have been so conditioned to accept uncritically everything and anything that's just mass-produced and mediocre that, you know, really the bar is set so low that it's not very difficult to fool anyone. I mean, I'll give you a simple example of, you know, my grandmother that had a third grade education that sold coats for a living. You know, she could see a button falling off a jacket from 300 feet away, and, or a thread hanging from a sleeve. And you'd go, "Hey, Grandma, I'd like to buy that coat," and she'd be like, "No, it's." You don't want that coat. You know, it's very poorly made. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people these days would be able to look at a garment and actually say, like, yeah, this is great and this is bad? Like, maybe you could program a computer to do that, right? But why would anyone care, right?
Right.
I mean, the same with food, right? I mean, it's the same with you know, accepting the taste of a store-bought tomato, right? Because people don't have the experience of growing one in their backyard. And even if they did, you know, where would they get the seeds necessarily? How would they know even know what to grow? Or listening to music. I mean, music now is a vast wasteland. And it's all because of advertising. And advertising runs the economy, and it's all based on going to the lowest common denominator and conditioning people to think uncritically and reflexively and in a very Pavlovian way. And people are all too happy to accept machines doing things for them. And I've always felt that humanity as a whole has always wanted to be a machine of some kind. I mean, and if you don't believe that, well, you know, just start taking away your appliances and your toasters and your washing machines and your cars and your even your sneakers, you know, that light up. I mean, you know, it gives people a feeling of greatness.
Yes.
And I just a quick thing about the whole Donald Trump thing, by the way. You know, no president, no one can remain president if they have if you don't have at least 50% approval. And from the moment Trump entered office to the moment he left, he never got above 40 something percent. Mm-hmm. And no other president ever in the history of America has had those kinds of poll numbers. So I just want to throw that out there for a second for the people who think that reality is their friend, because I mean, all of that entire presidency was just a dream. I mean, it was just a delusion. So that's my two cents.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for your careful thoughts and sharing with us this morning. And let's go to Doug, who will be our last call. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I was just listening to everything that was said, and, you know, there's a lot to the decision-making being made by us, for us. And I think that you've got to get back to the basic problem of the whole thing. The basic problem is that wealth disparity. We have we have just a few people who control everything that happens.
Yeah, just continue. Continue with your point.
Yeah, well, I think that wealth disparity, yes. You know, if one word, one phrase could be described as the root of the problem.
Yes, indeed.
It's wealth disparity, and we have to figure that out before we can make AI important to us, because we're going to be lied to by the money buys a lot of stuff, and it buys opinions, it buys what we call truth.
Right.
It controls everything.
Hey, that's an appropriate way to end our conversation this morning. Thank you so much for calling and sharing. You have been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM, with Cecil and Celeste and Ray. We will see you next time. Thank you, and stay true to yourself.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kbu.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Annual Cascade Festival of African Films throughout the month of February, with a collection of films by African directors from over 16